Merry Christmas, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to another edition of the 12 Days of Slashmas Part 2. I am Daniel Shine, joined by the Predator himself, Todd Loya.
Dan still says, fuck all your other holidays.
Can't say them all. Pugs Red.
Yeah, but I'm fucking nasty.
And Mike Krueger.
Ho, 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 bitch.
So.
I can't say them all. I felt that, Dan.
I'm fucking say them all.
You know it's not Christmas yet, right? But you're wishing us Merry Christmas.
It's a white Christmas.
It's Christmas season.
You're right, Dan.
Yeah. There's fucking trees all over the fucking place.
Do you wish people happy Halloween on October 3rd? No. Yeah. Yes,
I do. Yes, I do. Because it's Halloween season.
You're right, Dan.
I am right. I fucking do it. So, yeah. Go fuck yourself, Dan. Anyways, it's very, you're feeling the Christmas spirit tonight. That's awesome. So we have a new film.
Introduce Krueger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you made me mad, so I didn't get to.
He did introduce me.
I did.
Can do it again.
Go fuck yourself twice.
He always forgets it.
So anyways, tonight we have a new competitor entering our tournament, which is Tales from the Crypt. Worst wrong He-Man ever.
It's not He-Man, you dick face. It's fucking Invincible. Greatest animated show going on right now.
I doubt it if he's in it. So
you're fucking loony.
Well, it's better than Santa Inc. I'll give it that much.
Haven't seen it.
Can't call it.
Nobody. No. I won't even get into that one. So Krueger, tell the good folks how the 12 Days of Slashmas works.
What we do for our 12 Days of Slashmas special is rate and review a Christmas-themed horror film, and then at the end of the show, we add that movie to a list compiled from our previous episodes. From there, we will vote to eliminate one film from that list, leaving us with our top three Christmas horror movies, aka our three final elves. So, Todd, why don't you tell us what those three final elves are and what's up for contention tonight?
Thanks, Krueger. Okay, so we have Anna and the Apocalypse, A Christmas Horror Story, and Better Watch Out. Eliminated thus far, Iced, A Cadaver Christmas, Dead of Night, Two Front Teeth, and Night Train Murders. Up for contention today is Tales from the Crypt 1972. Dan, why don't you tell us about Tales from the Crypt?
Absolutely. So Tales from the Crypt from director, legendary director, Freddie Francis. Five strangers get lost in a crypt and after meeting the mysterious crypt keeper, receive visions of how they will die. All right. So this is an Amicus anthology. If you don't know Amicus, well, you should. You should definitely dive into Amicus because that is, they put out some absolute classics. Everybody talks Hammer, but don't forget about Amicus. The director, Freddie Francis, absolute legend. He's made some of my favorites. Evil of Frankenstein. He did.
And he's going to list off all the Hammer films he's done.
Well, no, in general. He's done a lot of
he's,
stuff.
Yeah, but he was the Hammer guy.
The Skull is a great one. I even like Trog. What can I say? Creeping Flesh. He's just done so much. Torture Garden, another one of my personal favorites. But yeah, a lot of people, I always feel bad. Tales from the Crypt. There was a lot of history before the HBO series. And Amicus was kind of known for their anthologies. And I think this one is just fucking amazing. For those of you new to it, the Crypt Keeper is not the Crypt Keeper that you're used to from the show. This is very different, but nonetheless follows the history. And, well, it's an anthology, so we'll kind of take it, I guess, story by story. And the first story, which is our Christmas one, and all through the house with Joan Collins. And man, this is good. And you see, like, later on, this one was actually, I believe this was, can't remember the exact issue. I have issues down for some of these, but this one was, yeah, you got it later on in the very first Tales from the Crypt episode. And I think it's just a classic here. I love this story.
And there are subtle differences, too, between the two.
Yeah, they're not shot for shot or anything like that.
I kind of wish there was a combination. I think Joan Collins is better than the Goody's mom or whatever her name is. But I do really like both. So,
but I waited 4 hours to meet her to sign my Empire of the Ants poster. I don't know if it was really worth it, but she was, yeah. Yeah.
That's how he was in life.
This
4 days.
What did you think of the first story, Kruger? Because I thought this was really good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I wasn't really like expecting the because you know it's a Killer Santa story, but it's also like you have this other thing going on that's so fucking interesting. You kind of forget about the Killer Santa, but he is there, and it ended, you know, really strong. So yeah, it's one of my favorites for sure. Of you know, all the different segments.
Yeah, and it was actually a Vault of Horror issue 35, 1954. If you want to track down the actual Vault of Horror, because it is kind of a Christmas staple. I used to own it, and I'm kind of sad to say that that was something I sold off years ago. Pugs, how about you? Like, how does this compare to the Tales from the Crypt episode for you?
I prefer the HBO version, but that doesn't take anything away from this one. This is fucking great. Like, if you like either or, you're going to have fun watching both. So, but yeah, I do think like the more fast pace of the updated one is the reason why I like it more. This one's a little more subtle, takes its time, which is fine. You know, we're here to fucking have fun watching a Christmas horror movie or story, I should say, because this is the only Christmas thing in this thing. So that is going to impact my vote a little bit. But yeah, it's great. You've seen it. I think you'll know.
It'll be interesting what the favorite segment is for everybody, because it's hard. There's a lot of strong shit in this.
Yeah, I don't think there's a weak segment in this.
Yeah, which is rare. That's why I think this movie is so special, because I don't think they had anything that didn't live up. But Kruger, I think
it actually gets better as it goes on for me.
Yeah. I won't reveal my favorite, but Kruger, how do I assume maybe you're more the Larry Drake episode over this?
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh wow!
Really?
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh. Well, you got to dive in. Yeah, Tales from the Crypt. You.
I've seen some episodes, but I haven't seen everyone.
That's one you definitely need to see.
Yeah.
I think I know what we're doing next October.
For sure, yeah. No, it's but what did you think of this?
He went already.
You already went to me.
We went out of order, my bad. So the second story, Reflection of Death, which is Tales from the Crypt, issue 23 from 1951. This follows Carl Maitland, played by Ian Hendry, who leaves his family to go have an affair with his secretary. I like this one a lot. This is another like just classic story. It's so good. Just the reactions to him. You've seen this also ripped off a lot since then, but where do you guys stand on Reflection of Death?
Yeah, I liked it. It's probably the weakest segment for me, but by no means is it like, you know, bad.
It's short too. I think it's the shortest.
It's short and, but you know, short but sweet. And I liked everything we got with it, but it doesn't chalk up to all as much as I enjoyed like all the other ones, but it's still really good.
I co-sign everything Kruger said, because this is one of the weak ones for me. But again, it's still pretty good. So, yeah, no strong feelings either way.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue what was said so far. Like, even with it being what the weakest of what we're going to talk about, it's still stronger than a lot of other anthologies, just this one alone. So.
All right. Well, our third story, Poetic Justice, comes from Haunt of Fear issue 12. And this one follows, this is the one we get Peter Cushing, who plays a kindly old neighbor who Grimsdyke, which is a great name. He's kind of conspired against. Everybody loves him, but you get the asshole father-son. Son's probably the biggest asshole, who just don't like him. They're snooty. He just owns his house because he's owned it forever, and they think he's kind of a.
They want the land, right?
They want him gone. It's not specifically the land. They just don't want him there. He doesn't fit. He's got dogs. So
I did not like that scene, by the way.
Dude, yeah, when he got his dogs taken away, I was like, "Fuck these rich motherfuckers."
Yeah.
This episode was actually Peter Cushing is very heartbreaking in this episode. I mean, they just slowly ruin him. Yeah. And man, do they build up the revenge portion, the comeuppance, so well in this, because oh my god, I hated these guys so much. The Valentine segment, and what's also heartbreaking about this, if you know Peter Cushing, his wife died a year before. And Peter Cushing actually would, like, in between shooting movies, would go up to, like, the mountains and, like, commune with his dead wife. So I can't even imagine what it was like filming this, because this was a very fresh wound for him at this point. And, just the heartbreak in his eyes. I think it's a fantastic Peter Cushing performance in this story. And the whole Valentine's thing and how that comes around. I love this one so much. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Peter Cushing's my favorite. I was going to say Hammer actor, but as we're talking about Amicus, but I mean...
Well, Amicus too, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know, but most people, they think of this or...
Mm-hmm.
Or Star Wars, but
Shockwaves, damn it.
Well, Star Wars, we reunite count with Frankenstein too. So remember that Darth Vader was Hammer Frankenstein. But this one, yeah, I love Peter Cushing. This is probably one of his, I won't say better performances because they're all great. One of his best. Like you feel for him, like everyone's already said. It's a very good entry in this one.
Absolutely.
Co-sign that with the ending. Yo, fuck yeah. Yes. So that's where I'll leave that. Well deserved.
Yeah. Got a bit gory too.
Yeah, and the effects, you know, for the ending too look fucking awesome. Yeah, this was my favorite segment. You guys already nailed everything. And you know it paid off in the end, like so fucking satisfyingly. So yeah, favorite one so far.
Yeah, rewatching all these, it made me go on an eBay. I didn't buy anything, but it kind of made me go on an eBay binge. I want to recollect some of these. But our fourth story, "Wish You Were Here," Haunt of Fear episode or issue. I don't know why I keep saying episode. Issue 22. This one follows this. Failed businessman Ralph going through some hard times with his wife Enid, it's about a Chinese figurine that grants three wishes, and after Ralph passes, she tries to use it to bring him back with failed results, to say the least. Again, if you're watching this for the first time, you'll recognize some of these stories told in other things, but you know, this is still predates them. And I really like this story as well. The image of the phantom biker, you'll see in a lot badass of different clips. What did you think of this one, Kruger?
This was probably my second favorite one. It just, things escalate just more and more to the point where everything's just completely batshit towards the end. We get, you know, a pretty little gory scene too, which was, you know, surprisingly nice. Yeah, I love this one. Second favorite for sure. And that, like, if there was any, these last two segments are the reason why I'm going to come back and rewatch this movie over and over again.
Yeah, it really captures the spirit of Tales from the Crypt. How about you, Pugs?
I love this one. Seeing there is something extremely nasty about colorless guts, like macaroni before you add the cheese, like the pre-made stuff. It was fucking disgusting. I loved it. And the agony in his eyes when something happens. Yeah, it's a great fucking story. It just hits you hard and hits you fast. And yeah, it's amazing. Todd?
Yeah, it's, well, I've been avoiding saying which is my favorite, but, and I'm still going to, but this is one of the two that I go back and forth on. But yeah, it is a great episode. It's very monkey paw, which I do like too. So it's, yeah, I do like, I really enjoy this one. I'm trying to avoid saying my favorite.
Trapped forever. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a hell of a ending. So our, aside from the finale, our last story, Blind Alleys, comes from Tales from the Crypt, issue 46, 1955. And in this one, Major William Rogers, played by Nigel Patrick, takes a new job as the head of a home for the blind, but diverts funds and essentially abuses the blind people to suit his own needs,
which I'm also not cool with.
Patrick McGee, who plays George, kind of the lead blind guy, is amazing in this. I fucking love this story so much. We even get like some like maybe saw borrowed from this with the razor blades. Yeah, we get a saw trap in this. This is a really, again, just such an effective episode. You really just detest the major and the way the dog is utilized. I thought was just so well done. Every time I revisit this, because I know everybody loves Tales from the Crypt and Demon Knight, especially for out of the two films, or well, three films. I this is just so strong, though, man. It's so fucking strong. I love this story so much. How about you guys?
You know, it's funny. These last two don't get talked about as much. But they were also remade into Tales from the Crypt episodes, but tweaked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the blind one. Which I got to revisit them then.
Yeah. Dude, hold on. We'll keep talking. It's seventh season episode Last Respects is the name of it, which is probably why you don't remember. It's season seven was the
where it goes to shit. Yeah. It does. But you have this, honestly. You're good. You got this.
Yeah. Definitely better than that one.
All
right. I will say there's an argument for the first one all through the house. But I think the other two are 100% better. Like, yeah, I don't think there's an argument. Yeah.
Yeah, picking a favorite's going to be tough. But where are you guys on this one?
This is my Don't Breathe. Like, everyone likes Don't Breathe. This, to me, this was the handy capable, don't fuck with, like, just don't be an asshole to people, especially if they're disabled, because you don't know what the fuck they've been through. They're living life harder than you, and they're doing better. They will fuck you up. So
it's not in the budget for a new blank.
Also, when he was eating his meal, like, he would have just said, oh, I bought this with my own money. Too fucking bad. I don't know. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, when that one blind guy had that, sir, can I have some more moment? I was like, oh, these motherfuckers, dude.
Yeah,
you feel for them big time, and I was really happy to see where the story fucking went. We already alluded to the saw trap, and it just I wasn't expect, like, you know, early 70 or, you know, early to mid 70s, you really don't know what to expect. I'm not a big like UK horror guy. I've only seen a little bit, so I wasn't expecting it to go as extreme as it did at times, and I think that's why this will hold up for a lot of people.
I'm with you, Kruger. I have a lot of blind spots for like Hammer and Amicus stuff. So.
A lot of the best of Amicus, particularly at this point, stood up pretty well to Hammer. Amicus doesn't get as much love as it deserves.
Am I tripping, or did like Hammer buy at Amicus at one point?
No, well, no. This the Hammer. The last real stand for Hammer was.
They'll argue they're still to the, they're making movies.
Well, they're back now. But yeah, did, but is there, the devil.
Did they collab or something? Because I something in my brain is telling me like they merged.
Well, Hammer and Hammer had the collaborations overseas with Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. Sorry, I'm spacing on a name right now. But no, I mean they were competition. I mean you had a lot of different. But honestly, by the 70s, Hammer really needed to. Not change too far down the yeah they needed change to change
with the
they,
times
they didn't they stayed on the gothic horror train too long, and I love those films, but they just didn't get off in time. To the devil a Daughter was kind of like their last stand.
See, a Dracula I like, Christopher Lee, the Hammer Dracula, that's my definitive.
The Frankenstein movies are better.
They are too,
because they under you as a whole. Like, yeah. I love horror of Dracula, but they kind of underutilize Dracula. But anyways, we could go deep down that hole. So the finale, I thought was also very strong. Like, yeah. They wrap it up quite well. I love the way the whole movie played out. And, yeah, any thoughts on wrapping it all up now?
I thought it was satisfying, you know, what we got with the ending. And now that I think about it, I don't know why, like, way different fucking movie, but it kind of reminded me of Baskin with what they went with. So, like, that kind of clicked in the back of my head. I got to ask John if he had any inspiration from that, because I could kind of see that with how Mehmet looked with the Crypt Keeper, too. So,
yeah, you'll definitely need to ask then. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this is one of my favorite anthologies. It's so good. And I guess I'll just say it. My favorite one is Poetic Justice. So,
oh, nice. For me, it's so hard. I on the basis of Peter Cushing, especially, I'd have to say the same.
Yeah. I agree.
Cosign.
All right. Well, Peter Cushing gets one big hole.
And I also, just to, before we get into our rating, on the Amicus front, always held a special place in my heart. I was a huge fan of the Edgar Rice Burroughs adaptations, Land That Time Forgot, People That Time Forgot, At the Earth's Core.
Oh, yeah.
Watched those all the time. They're anthologies were just amazing. It's hard to compare with Hammer. It's just
they're both British film companies that were doing horror stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of like, yeah.
Those anthologies, though, man, they were hard. To this day, they just age so well for me. So yeah, dive into Amicus if you haven't. I don't know if that box set's still in print, but
the Severn one.
Yeah, probably not. I have it, but just grab as much Amicus as you can, guys. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and rate Tales from the Crypt. I think this is a must-see. It's a classic film. I'm a 5.
I'm a 5.
I am a 4 out of 5, but I agree with the classic.
And I am a 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Well, me and Dan agree today.
All right. So... What are we going up against here?
Yeah, time to disagree.
Oh, Jesus. All right. I know. Up for elimination, we have Anna and the Apocalypse, A Christmas Horror Story, Better Watch Out, and Tales from the Crypt. What say you guys? Dan, you want to go first?
Ooh.
Or put... Yeah. Kruger, you were ready to go. So
go for it.
Yeah. Even though I love Tales from the Crypt, I got to go with that. I just think everything else we have on our list is more of a, you know, Christmas time watch, where as Tales from the Crypt, you can watch whenever. And, you know, it does have a Christmas segment, and, you know, it's got a killer Santa in it. So, I mean, there's arguing points for sure, but I can't knock anything else off our list. So Tales from the Crypt is what I'm eliminating.
Yeah. Go Pugs. I'm sorry.
I was going to say right click, copy, paste, because I agree with everything Kruger said. Tales is gone for me.
If we were just ranking the best movie, Tales from the Crypt might slay all of them for me, but there's only one Christmas Story. So this is another one. Again, it doesn't need to be Christmas for me to watch it. Yeah. It's just, yeah. So Tales from the Crypt goes for me.
And this is the one I do watch every Christmas.
Well, you could just watch that story, I suppose, but
I don't. I'm going to eliminate Anna and the Apocalypse. Not that it matters. So,
all right, cool. All right. So, I think do we have spoilers for this? I think we're
no.
All right. So, guys,
spoilers. It's badass. Give it a watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Patreon.com/FleshWoundFeatures. We're glad you've been enjoying the content. There's a lot more coming and a lot up there for you guys right now. Also, Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter. We're on Discord, FleshWoundFeatures.com, where you can get your official Christmas cruelty merchandise, including the awesome t-shirt. And yeah. I think that's all I've got. So
all the links are, you can click in the description.
All the links are down there. Happy Hanukkah and all the other holidays, since I said Happy Hanukkah. I just do it at the end. So I gave you two.
Today. So there's only two holidays in December?
I can't list them all. Sorry.
List them all. Dan's getting canceled if he doesn't start. You know what? On the 12th day, he's going to say every single one of the holidays. It's happening.
I'll list them all.
Okay. All right. Feliz Navidad.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Happy Kwanzaa. I'll see you in Disneyland.